You're listening to Shooting Hoops with your hosts, Dia Miller and Adam Drexler.
Welcome back to Shooting Hoops, a podcast about basketball and the Portland Trail Blazers. I'm your host, Dia Miller. I'm here with Adam Drexler, my co-host. Oh, our names aren't even up here.
What?
We've got
to know who we are. No, I'm just kidding.
We gotta fix that. It's been a couple weeks.
Yeah.
I don't even know what episode we're on at this point. I think 14, maybe.
Maybe. But you have been off the grid.
Not on purpose. I wish it was on purpose. I wish it was one of those things where I like took a vacation or something like that. But what actually happened is my internet went down, like completely down, for a significant amount of time. I want to say it was like 2 weeks, and they couldn't figure out what was going on. And it turns out I don't fully know how internet works. If we're being honest, I just enter the password and log on. But basically what happened was there's like a box that I guess everybody in the area is like plugged into, like physically plugged into. And someone signed up for internet in my area and there weren't enough like plugs. I don't know if it's actual plugs, but whatever. And so they unplugged me and plugged the new person in. But like somebody came out and said an animal ate something. Someone else came out and said they didn't know what was going on. So it's just been a nightmare trying to figure out why my internet wasn't working. And for obvious reasons, when my internet's not working, we can't record this. So between that and then you had surgery.
Yeah. Yeah. Wild.
So we had a hiatus without meaning to.
Yeah.
And then we had a
not vacation.
Right. Yeah. It was not vacation at all. It was actually very frustrating. And then while that was happening, everything happened with the Trailblazers.
There's been a lot of stuff happening.
So much.
And we're going to cover it all in this episode. We're not missing anything. We're going to go down the line.
Yeah, we're sure going to try. So starting that out here is we've got this. We'll just give a quick oh, you can't even see it when that border's there. It's like I've forgotten how to do this. So we are currently 13th in the West, 33-40. It's wild to me because we started this season out, 10-4? And I was like, this is it. This is the year we win the championship. And now we are fighting for our lives to even get in the play. And the Spurs and the Rockets, the two teams under us in the West, are both out. I think we're like 2.5 games behind. Two and a half or three games behind. Mm. And we've got like, 9 games left? 8 games left? Something like that?
Yeah. It's not looking good. It's looking like we're about to enter into the Wimbenyana sweepstakes.
Right.
And
which, I mean, there are worse places to be.
Yeah. Honestly, I'm going to say that I don't know if this is a bad thing. In one case, it is a bad thing because I expected the Blazers to do pretty well, and they were pretty solid up until the All-Star break, where you made some trades that I think were more in the direction of tanking. And it's not saying that the players aren't good. It's just that in terms of the winning efforts, like some of those trades kind of made it a little bit tougher to get those wins. And they were trades that traded away like key pieces for our winning efforts. So it's not something I'm angry about, but I think the Blazers, like, they kind of made a decision as a franchise to kind of build for the future a little bit. But what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's been interesting, you know, and there's been a lot of conversation about where we're at. Okay, first of all, let's break this down a little bit here. First of all, I did not expect to be here. When we started the season out, like I said, I thought, okay, this, like, we are going for it. And we may not win a championship, but, like, this is going to be a good season. It's going to be fun. We're going to see good basketball. We're going to be a winning team. Like, I really had high hopes. And then we've just kind of slowly just like gone down, and it's been frustrating in some ways, but I would rather be the worst team than be stuck in the middle. When you're stuck in that, like in that play-in place, like where you're kind of fighting for a spot there, or even at the, you know, at the bottom of the playoffs, like when you're in that, well, really the play-in, when you're in that play-in section, you're in a really crappy place because you likely are not going to win. You're probably not even going to make it past the first round, if we're being honest. I mean, yeah. Crazier things have happened, but that's the reality. And then you're out, like you're not going to end up with being in a good place.
Yeah. And you don't have a pick or anything. So,
right. Right.
It's not a good place to be.
Not a good place to be. Mediocre is not a good place to be in the NBA, but at the end of the season, you either want to be really good or really bad, which seems so weird. I
think there are some teams in between that are like, okay, an injury might happen. Like, I think the Timberwolves are a team that, okay, if the whole roster is healthy, they're trying to compete for you know, the playoffs, and they were up until right now they're being plagued by injuries, but they're still trying. Their fans expect their team to go to the playoffs. Yeah. They have the roster for it. And then there's some teams that might not have the roster for it, get a few wins and are like, okay, well, we can try to make the play in, but should we?
Well, that's kind of where I feel like the Mavericks, the Lakers and the Pelicans all fall right now. Like all of those teams, if they're all healthy, they are not terrible. The Lakers, I don't know. The Mavericks and the Pelicans both, if they're healthy, they've got a lot of skill and a lot of talent. Yeah, and if they have the right pairing, they could really do well in the playoffs.
Yeah, the Pelicans, I think they were geared up for a playoff spot. I mean, they were at the top of the conference for a minute when everyone was healthy. And then you have, you know, star players get injured. Yep. And now all of a sudden they're like, it's not our year. But they had every intention. Same with the Blazers. They started off the season with every intention of making the playoffs. And I think now we look at the roster and now we look, okay, even if we make the playoffs, what is this going to do for, you know, is this going to better serve the Blazers if they make the playoffs this year?
Yeah. So that leads us into an interesting topic that's been a topic lately, is the whole idea of tanking. And there's been a lot of conversation about this because of where we're at. And so a couple things that we need to highlight about this here. Guys, we've done this before. Okay. So we've got this. This was an interesting one. Now, ignore the 5 days because I screenshot this when we were supposed to record before my internet went down. But it was at the point where we had 24 games. So if you're listening, you can't see the tweet. Chad in Portland tweeted, with 24 games remaining, I am all about the Blazers doing whatever is necessary to increase their odds to land Wimbanyama. I don't know why that name's so hard to say. Wimbanyama.
Wham, bam. Thank you, ma'am.
Top four pick. I'm sure he's heard that before. And Dame retweeted it and said, no way. So that tells me, even at that point, that Dame was like, we're not tanking.
And like, what is Dame supposed to say in those kinds of situations? Like, he could say nothing. Yeah, he could say nothing. Dame, like, no player in Dame's predicament wants to lose.
Right, but I think there's a difference, and I think that this is a common misconception, and obviously you know the difference, you've been there, but like, tanking doesn't mean that the players choose to lose. Tanking is a front office decision where they start pulling, you start seeing injuries, and you start seeing guys get sat and stuff like that. So tanking is never, at playing at this level, you are never going to convince players to just chill and lose on purpose. Yeah. Like, you're just not.
That doesn't even sound like no one's going in there saying, hey guys, we're going to try and lose.
Right.
Like, no one's doing that. And I think with Dame, as a star player for a team, it's got to be the most annoying thing ever, that if your team starts losing and it looks like they're not going to make the playoffs, you know what's coming next. And this is like one of the few times that Portland gets some airtime every year, is like, okay, if Portland's losing for a little bit, there go the segments all about, okay, Dame needs to leave.
Dame needs to go.
Yeah, and like, as the star player, you're like, oh my gosh, we lost too many games. Now I'm going to have to hear this.
Well, and like, we're going to get to that too, because that came up again.
Yeah, but it's the terrible place to be in.
It really is. And also knowing, like, they're probably going to try to make you sit. And I think that that's so frustrating, because we watched that happen last year with Anfernee, where he was really making a a solid argument that he should be most improved player last year. Mm. And then because the team went downhill and they started to tank, he got sat. And he didn't get got sat. I don't know if that's the right way to say that. But anyway.
Yeah, I think that's right. It sounds right.
It sounds right.
Got sat.
But he didn't get to finish that off. And so he didn't get that. And I think about that this year with Dame and his scoring. He's, you know, he could go for the scoring title.
Yeah. Like, we've seen it. Dame, like, he's up there with anybody in the league.
Yeah.
In terms of an individual performance.
Right.
He's just about done all he can. It just so happens that basketball is a team sport. And
dang it.
Yeah, I know. Like, if it was just, you know, we could play with five dames.
Right.
Great. But
right.
When it's a team sport, it's not always in your hands. And it's just it's got to be so frustrating because, like, you can't blame your teammates. You can't blame your, you know, it's just the way things are
with
what's going on in the NBA. So it's got to be incredibly frustrating for a star player to go through that.
So this is another interesting one. This is from Sean Hyken. And again, this is older than it's showing, but this was after Ant had been hurt. And there's a series of three tweets that Sean tweeted that I think are interesting to note. And he said, Anfernee Simons has been upgraded to questionable tonight for the Blazers game against the Pelicans. I cannot stress enough how surprising this is. The night the injury happened right before the All-Star break, it looked bad enough that my working assumption was it would be a 4 to 6 week type of deal. That he might be back 2 weeks later is huge. This is also not something that would happen if a team was tanking. So even at that point, we were still looking at, okay, this is not a team that's tanking. This is a team that's actually like working at being in the playoffs. I feel like maybe we're at the point, I think we're getting real close to being at the point where they shut it down.
Yeah. I think this week was definitely the week where everyone took a second to reassess. The headlines started jumping out of the woodworks.
And
everyone saw this coming at the Blazers. I mean, to be honest, most people counted the Blazers out this season.
Yeah.
The fact that they counted them to be down there with the Rockets and the Spurs. And so to me, the fact that the Blazers were competitive most of the season and really trying to win speaks volumes to the organization. Cause I mean, who wants to cheer for a tanking team?
Yeah, but I also feel like we started off so strong and we saw that potential there. And it's like, okay, at that point, are we really supposed to be like a bottom three team, or is this a team that can compete?
I think before the All-Star break, I definitely thought, okay, this is a team that can compete. After the All-Star break, after the trades, I was like, all right, it's tougher. It's still possible, but we go on that giant losing streak and I'm like, all right.
And we've talked before on here about those trades and how I feel like this is a step towards something that is not fully complete. I feel like this has been a cycle of kind of making moves. And I we've said on here before, I think this summer is going to be crucial. And if they make the right moves this summer, we're there. But if they don't, I think we're going to see some upsetting changes coming down the line here.
Definitely. I think with the Portland Trailblazers, a lot of people will have to realize, okay, it's very tough to get another star.
Yeah.
And the star that you have, you also have to make sure that they're okay. Because, I mean, Dame is he's no youngster. He's not, of course, he could play for tons of years. But, like, in terms of Dame's career, he's at the point now where people want to see more results. They want to see more wins. They want to see more W's in the win column. And at this point, every season that is not a successful route through the playoffs, and not just making the playoffs, doing something in the playoffs is definitely
first round exit, isn't it?
Hurting his legacy. So
Well, and so that kind of takes us into another kind of crucial conversation that we're a little bit behind on here. But Dame went out and scored 71 points. So this again, ignore if you're watching this video, it says 2 days ago, but this was when we thought we were recording earlier. But the tweet comes from Trailblazers PR. It says Damian Lillard passes Michael Jordan and James Harden to move up to the number three spot for the most games with 60 plus points in NBA history. And then we see, you know, he has this, whoops, that's not it. he has this 71 point game. And immediately after this 71 point game, what happens? We get the free Dame narrative right back because, you know, Dame goes out.
1 point game that they lost, mind you.
Oh, I wasn't going to mention that. It's rough. It's rough. Like, you have one player that goes. Now, granted, we've talked about this before. If Dame's scoring 71, it's not like somebody else is scoring 50, like, or 40 or 30 even, because every single one of those shots is coming from a different player. And I think once he hit that rhythm, you had guys. I mean, he was like 40 points at the half. And I think at that point, guys were just feeding him shots because he was hot. He was shooting well. And I also think that his teammates want to see him succeed and they want to see him do these great things. And so I think they're on board with that. So when Dame gets hot like that, they're feeding him those shots. So it's not like, you know, he had 71 points. It's not like the score was 150, 200 points. You know, we're not talking about 71 on top of a normal scoring game. He's obviously taking those shots away from other guys, but still,
you got to think that such an individual effort would lead to a win. And it's just,
you would hope
that to me kind of spoke to the roster and like what the potential is, because I mean, generally if a player scores over 50 points, their team's supposed to win. That, right. Think about for all my basketball players out there, think about like you're at the gym and you're playing just typical 5-on-5. The person you're guarding, you're playing a game to 12, and the person you're guarding scores all 12 points.
Right.
You think at some point someone's going to be like, hey, let's send two to go guard that guy. He's scoring all 12.
Right. So or imagine, you're fired. You can't guard him anymore. Let someone else give it a try. Switch out.
I'm going to guard. Like, so that is no easy task to like get 71 points scored on you as a defender. That's tough. So naturally the whole team starts trying to stop that one guy, which means that there are four other guys open for most of the game because they're zoned in on you. We see it a lot with Steph Curry. I mean, teams literally will run after Steph and other people are wide open. And you think with a roster, like, you know, other people, it kind of makes their life easier because they're not being guarded as tough as the person who's on fire.
This was also a team that's not good at defense. And I think that became the narrative afterwards too. Well, he scored 71, but it was on the Rockets, right?
Yeah. I mean, like any team, and especially you don't want to lose to like the Rockets.
When you score 71 points. Yeah, it was bad. It was bad. But 71 points. And immediately the next day, the narrative is free Dame, let Dame leave, blah, blah, blah. Which is interesting. So there's some interesting things that came out of this. This was one of them. Here we go. It's from NBA Central. This is actually via ESPN. And it says, Damian Lillard says the grass isn't always greener when you leave a franchise. And this is a direct quote from Dame. He says, you look at Russell Westbrook, you leave OKC for Houston, then James Harden decided he's leaving. Now Russ is traded to DC. Then you get traded from DC to the Lakers. Now you're on your fourth team in 4 years. And in your second year on the team, everybody's talking about how they should trade you. Now you're coming off the bench. This dude is a Hall of Famer, an MVP. It's an example that the grass isn't always greener. And Adam, you touched on this.
Sounds like something concept. I said.
Yeah, it does. It absolutely does.
I know we're of a similar mind in this regard. Yeah. And like, that's the tough thing about like being a franchise player is that you're a franchise player for Portland. That doesn't mean that every other city will give you the same role.
Right.
So it's difficult in sports because you never know. Like, all it takes is one person in management or one coach to change and alter your entire career.
Yeah. Well, and I think too, that we're in this position now where there's this weird, he's in a weird spot where it's like, okay, so now you're kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place because now you stay and people are critical of you for staying. But the truth is, like, you can stay and you can work hard at winning a championship here, or you can leave and you can take a risk, because leaving, going and joining another team never guarantees you anything. And now if he goes and he leaves and he joins another team, and he's touched on this himself, but if he goes and leaves and joins another team and they don't win, now he's being blamed for that. People are being critical for the fact that he's chasing a ring and he's leaving another team. He's possibly getting traded because he's not doing what they, or they're not getting the result that they had hoped if they're not winning. So you work yourself into a spot where you're bouncing from team to team. You aren't be able to, maybe like you said, play the same role. And Dame's got a good spot in Portland, and it has nothing to do with, I mean, people talk about this like, oh, well, he's comfortable, or oh, where there's no expectations. And I don't think that's true. I think there's a lot of expectation on him. I think we see that in all of these, you know, commentaries that come out every time he does something. There's all this expectation for him. If he doesn't win a ring, you know, people are going to be critical. And so I think for him, he feels that pressure and he knows that's there. But I think he's in a spot where he has some say in Portland. He's able to, you know, he's because he's a franchise player, because he was drafted there, because he's been there for so long and he's a leader, he's in the conversations about who they're going to bring and what's going to happen. That's not a secret. That's been talked about. He's, you know, he's got some pull, he's got some say. And I think if he were just to pick up and leave and go somewhere else, he's going to find himself in a different spot.
Yeah. And that's the risk of being great at something, is that now all of a sudden it's up in the air in terms of your future is undetermined. There's an expectation, and then there's a, you know, there's the inside logical decision. So I think Damian Lillard was on a podcast with JJ Redick, and he kind of explored this narrative and what he thought about basketball today, and kind of what his thoughts are about ring chasing and why it's not always about winning a ring. Like, there are a lot of legends that we talk about, and some of the legends he talks about are Charles Barkley, talks about Malone. Like, a lot of these players didn't win rings. They're still legends. They're still regarded as some of the greatest players ever. They didn't win rings. And so Dame kind of made the point that, like, hey, you know, why are we discrediting players in my predicament? Because if I don't win a ring with Portland, I shouldn't be discredited for my years of greatness. And that's a fair point. And during this, some of the other TV shows kind of grabbed hold of this narrative and kind of talked about what that means for his legacy. So I kind of wanted to get your thoughts on this. Okay. Like, if Damian Lillard doesn't win a ring, what are your thoughts on what that would make of his legacy?
This is an interesting topic, and it's one that I feel like is kind of controversial. Like, people tend to have pretty strong feelings on this. I think for this conversation to be fair, I have to take my own personal fandom out of it. I have to say, like, if this were not Damian Lillard, if this were another player in another franchise, how would I feel about this? Because I think anytime you're a fan of a specific team, obviously, like, we love Dame. We, you know, Dame has been great in Portland. And so there's that part of me that wants to be like, yeah, you know, everything he does, he can't make a bad choice. He's Damian Lillard, and he is with the Trailblazers. And so, you know, I think that definitely clouds, like, the way that I see the situation. So I'm going to speak in hypothetical here instead of specifically about Dame for that reason. And we can go specifically to Dame, but I want to start there. So if you had a franchise player, and, you know, in a small market team like this, who had done the things that Dame had done, who had stayed with the team, you know, had won the contests, the all-star things he'd won, who had had the accolades that he's had, basically essentially the exact same situation. I personally think that the number of rings you have should not be a big factor, or whether you have one or not. And the reason that I say that is because of exactly what you said a few minutes ago, that this is a team game. You can be the best player in the world, and if you don't have the right team around you, you are not going to win a championship. Michael Jordan doesn't win a championship with other teams. You know, you have a situation like that where, or like Clyde Drexler does win a championship with other teams. So it's not an individual game. You can't just say, well, this guy, you know, I mean, look at the Lakers, who were stacked on, you know, on paper. I say that all the time, but like when you looked at that team, that was a stacked roster, and yet they aren't winning. So you can't, you can't put this all on an individual. You can't put a ring on an individual. And yet we're talking about an individual career. If we're talking about Dame at the end of his career, if he doesn't win a ring, and we're talking about Damian Lillard, the individual basketball player, I don't think rings should be the factor there, because it's not something you can win on your own. And it's not something you always have control over, because even if he did choose to leave, again, it's not something you have control over. He has control over how many 3-point shots he makes. He has control over how his season as an individual player plays out, whether he gets an all-star nod, whether he gets, you know, whatever. He has control over those things. That's his skill and his ability. The team accolades are not the same thing. And so for me, I don't factor that in. When I'm looking at a player in general and their, you know, their legacy, that's not something that I think impacts their legacy, in my opinion. Honestly, if I'm looking, I think about that like with Chris Paul, who's a great player, and he's never won a ring. And I'm looking at that thinking, if anything, like, man, that really sucks for him that he hasn't won a ring. He deserves to have won a ring. That doesn't change how I see him as a player. If he goes out and wins a ring this season, I'm not going to think he's a better player than I thought he was at the beginning of this season. That doesn't change it for me. Like, I don't see him as being better now because he has a championship ring. Now, I definitely think that it's something that's a goal, and it's something that players strive for, but I don't think it's how you should measure an individual career.
Yeah. And those are all good points. Like, I think it's something that it comes down to personal. I mean, when I'm looking at it in terms of somebody's legacy, personal feelings are kind of different, but like in a general consensus, the way people view people is different based upon their
life. Absolutely.
So in the spirit of that, let me read off some numbers just for funsies.
Okay.
I'm just going to read off a few numbers.
I feel like this is not going to end up being fun.
It might be. Okay. And this is just purely for the listeners, just to like figure out who they are in terms of where they land in this argument.
Okay.
So I'm just going to list off three different players' statistics.
Well, this does sound fun.
and I want you to just kind of, in your opinion, who you think is the better player.
Okay. Okay. All right. Okay.
So here goes the first one, in no particular order.
Okay.
Twenty-two points per game.
Okay.
On 46% field goal percentage.
Okay.
4 rebounds and 4.3 assists per game.
Okay.
Okay, here's another one. 25 points per game.
Okay.
4.2 rebounds per game.
Okay.
And 6.7 assists per game.
Do you know, did you say percentage on that one?
Percentage is 43.9, but the percentage is, it kind of doesn't matter in this case.
I was just curious.
Okay. And now the last one is 17.9 points per game.
Okay.
47%, 4.5 rebounds per game, and 9.5 assists per game. Okay. Well, so
in how many assists was the first one?
All right. First one was 4.3 assists, 4 rebounds, 22 points. So that's medium in terms, if we're talking about like points per game, to assist and rebounds. Okay. First one is 22 points per game. So that's right in the middle. The second one is
25 points.
Yeah, 25 points per game and 6.7 assists. So better.
Yeah.
Better numbers. And the last one is the only thing that's better than the other two is assists. It's 17.9 points per game.
Yeah.
Same rebounds and 9.5 assists per game.
Right. So you'd think player two would be.
You would think player two is in the middle. I mean, player two would be has the highest stats in terms of statistics.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, here goes the interesting part. So player one was Bradley Beal. He plays for the Washington Wizards.
Mm-hmm.
He's been with the same franchise.
Right.
Hasn't left. And of course, this man has averaged over 30 points a game. He has a scoring title. Pretty good player, right?
Yeah.
Second one was Damian Lillard. Better numbers, more assists, more points.
Okay.
And this is their career average.
Yeah.
The third one, however, which is lower numbers generally.
Right.
That's Chris Paul.
Interesting.
Now, in taking my bias out of this,
right,
Chris Paul is generally regarded as one of the best point guards.
Yeah.
Around of this generation.
Right.
So he's pretty much ranked. He's been ranked for most of his career higher than Damian Lillard.
Right.
And I think there's something to be made about that. Why that is. Damian Lillard has better statistics, but there's also the point to be made that Chris Paul, for the majority of his career, has aspired to win a championship and has surfed around the league trying to win that championship.
Yeah.
And okay. Yeah. And then there have been multiple times where he's taken lesser teams to the playoffs. And generally he just kind of, he goes where the wins are. And to me, that is a different route from Damian Lillard. I'm not saying Damian Lillard's wrong, but in a way, people don't ever discredit Chris Paul in terms of saying, oh, he needs to be freed. You never hear this narrative. He needs to be free, or he needs to be, rescued or whatever. And no one ever is mad when Chris Paul leaves and goes to a different situation. I mean, he's Chris Paul. So, and there have been a few times in his career where he's been traded, like with the Rockets. They had their run. They almost made it and then lost to the Warriors, the champ. And he got traded to the Thunder, took the Thunder to the playoffs. So the difference is, I think, in Chris Paul's legacy, he's not ever going to be penalized for chasing his ring. And no one's ever going to say, okay, it's just blank stats on an empty team. And this is my unbiased opinion. Whereas Damian Lillard, if you look at those stats, or if you look at Bradley Beal's stats, they're kind of in a similar vein. It's great stats on a team with a low win percentage.
Yeah.
If we look at the grand perspective, Damian Lillard's won 4 playoff series in his entire career. That's 4 times he's won in the playoffs, won a round of the playoffs. And
wait,
it's, yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
So Damian Lillard's been with the Blazers for a long time.
That's wild.
They go to the playoffs. They don't stay in the playoffs. They've gotten.
Wow.
Yeah, that's 4 series wins in the playoffs.
That's actually a wild fact.
So, and I love Damian Lillard. I think he's one of the best point guards of this generation. It's just there comes a time where your legacy starts to get hurt by your decisions. Like in terms of Chris Paul, even though Damian Lillard has better stats and is arguably a better individual player than Chris Paul. I mean, Damian Lillard might very obviously when you play, he's a better scorer. I mean, there's an argument there that Damian Lillard's a better player, but in terms of through the spectacle, through the lens of the average NBA fan, they say that Chris Paul is the has the better career. And I think it's held over Damian Lillard's head that he's putting up great stats. He can have 71 points on a team that's not trying to win. And or rather an organization that's not trying to put him in a position to win. And when I watched the podcast, Damian Lillard kind of talked about, you know, it's not really about the ring, and it's really not. I mean, anyone who's a basketball fan should just appreciate what the game is and appreciate that there are people like Damian Lillard who can go in and light it up and show you basketball. And he loves to play the game. He wants to play. He wants to be an entertainer because that's what the whole reason for the season. But there has to be a team aspect. There has to be a part of this that kind of meets him halfway, because otherwise it's kind of hurting his legacy. So in regards to the Blazers, I think what can the Blazers do right now to help Damian Lillard's legacy?
This is such a frustrating conversation for me. And I think part of it comes down to how people consume basketball, like how you are a fan. And, you know, you have like the Skip Bayless and Stephen A. Smiths of the world that are just going to find something to be complaining about. And then you have the other, like dramatically other side of that, where you have fans like me who are like, we're going to win it all every year. And, you know, the players on the Blazers can be not as good as other players, and I still am going to put them on a pedestal because they're on the Blazers. So you have, and then you have everything in between this, you know, this spectrum of how people enjoy the game. And so you have a guy like Skip Bayless, who's going to be like, well, Dame's legacy is scorched if he never wins a ring. I'm not quoting him. I'm just saying that's the
that's the sentiment.
And whereas then you have me, who just sat here and said, like, it doesn't matter to me if a player wins a ring or not as far as their legacy goes. And granted, I don't think that's just because I'm a glass half full person. That's just how I see it. But but we have this conversation. We're not the only ones having this conversation. Everybody's having this conversation. And it's got to be so hard as a guy like Damian Lillard. And I think we're seeing that in these conversations and in these interviews that he's having, where he's being like, of course, like the fact that he has to convince people that he wants to win a ring is wild to me. Like, nobody who's competing at the level of the NBA is like, I don't want to ring. So this is kind of on this same level. Like, I think about that as a photographer. Like, there are times where, like, I've thought, man, I want to be a photographer with a franchise that's going to win a ring. Because when you work for the franchise, like, you also win a ring, even though technically you're not the one winning it. And there have been times where I've thought about that. I'm like, man, like, because I go back and forth, like, do I want to work for a team or do I want to continue doing things the way that I do them? And I've thought about that, like, okay, well, if it was a team that was going to win, like, that would be really cool to get to be some part of that. And so I'm not even a basketball player, and I'm thinking, like, that would be so cool. So obviously, when you have guys that are competing at the level that they're competing at, who have made the sacrifices and done the things that they've had to do throughout their entire lives to get to the place where they are at, of course they want to win a ring. There is not, you will not find a player in the NBA who legitimately doesn't care about winning. That's the competition. That's the highest, like, prize of the game that they play, that they compete in. So of course, that's like saying that there are Olympians who go to the Olympics and don't want to win a gold medal. There's not one Olympian who has ever gone to the Olympics and said, well, I don't want to win a gold medal.
Yeah, of course they fell into this gold medal. Right, like, everyone's competing. Yeah.
Of course they want to win a gold medal. Mm. And I think that it's wild that Damian Lillard would have to convince people that he wants to win a ring. Of course he wants to win a ring, but there's a difference in jumping on a bandwagon. It's like if you're, you know, I can't think of a good example. Never mind. I thought I was going to go there, but like, if you stick it out with the team you're with and you work and you try to win that, like I have so much respect for that. And in my opinion, there should almost be more respect for a guy and his legacy like that. That's more of a legacy to me when you sit there, and I hesitate to use the word grind because that's become a thing. But like when you're that guy, when you're the guy who's going to sit there and say like, we're going to put in the work, we're going to do what we can to mold and shape this team so we can win a championship from the ground up, versus being like, hey, those guys look like they're going to win a championship, I'm going to go play with them because my chances are better. Like to me, I am not discounting a ring. A ring is a ring. You win a championship with this team, you win a championship with this team, it doesn't matter. You win a championship. Mm-hmm. But to me, if we're talking about legacy, the guy that sticks it out and wins a ring with the team that he built from the ground, or that he was a part of from the ground up, has a very different legacy than a guy who says that team's already, you know, on their way to a championship. I'm going to go play with them and wins that ring. To me, if you're talking about legacy, one of these things is better than the other. And that, again, the same ring, same accomplishment. But to me, it's a different legacy.
Yeah, I think most fans.
I didn't answer your question.
It's a discussion.
Back to that. Yeah,
but like most fans are. It depends on what your feelings are, because I bet you there are fans in Washington who are like, Bradley Beal is one of the best to ever do it. You know, they're kind of in the same boat in the sense that Washington, like Bradley Beal, they know he's great, and right now, as it currently stands, Bradley Beal has no expectations to win a championship ever in his career. And
he still
other than the ones that like other fans from other cities are, you know, they're like, oh, well, we don't care that Bradley Beal won the scoring title. He's not even in the playoffs. Whereas if you're in Portland, you're like, Damian Lillard is, you know, he's one of the GOATs. Like he's the best for the city. And that's where like, basketball fans are so weird because two different types of fans want something from a particular player, and how it pertains to the player is, okay, if I'm Bradley Beal and you know I've won a scoring title, I have a lot of accolades to my name, I want to win with this team, but I'm being penalized by the rest of the league for staying with this team. It's like, but I'm in a comfortable position. Like, why would you leave your house and go sleep in your neighbor's house? Like, it doesn't make sense. Like, it's your house.
Right.
Why would you want to go somewhere else?
I also think that maybe something that should be talked about more, maybe it is talked about enough, I feel like it should be talked about more, is like, you also have the aspect of basketball. Like, obviously the players, there are accomplishments and accolades and legacy that we talk about with players, obviously. But there's also this whole side that's fans and the players that play for the fans. You know, I think often about the story of Kobe Bryant. I think his wife told this story about how he would always play if it was at all possible, because what if that kid came to see him and he wasn't playing? You know, there are players, and yet Kobe Bryant was also one of the fiercest competitors that the NBA ever saw. So there can be both sides of this. And I think that something that a lot of NBA fans will never understand is what a Damian Lillard means to a small market fan base. Yeah. I think that what a player like Damian Lillard means for Portland Trailblazers fans, his Damian Lillard's legacy within the NBA community or within fans as a whole may not be the same if he doesn't win a championship. But Damian Lillard's legacy with Portland Trailblazers fans is unbreakable at this point. The fact that he's stuck it out, that he's been there, he's been in the trenches for so long. Like I almost get emotional about this, which seems so stupid, but like as I'm talking about it, I start to get like kind of choked up, because I remember being a little girl watching your dad, and like watching as a little kid, I was not attached to the Portland Trailblazers. I was attached to Clyde Drexler. And I think that as a child, watching him and diving into this game of basketball and this team because of who he was and how he played and who he was for me as a kid and for the team. Like, that is what established me as a basketball fan. And I think about that often amongst this conversation we're having about Damian Lillard and how I wonder if I would be the Blazers fan that I am today had your dad not been on the team when I was a little kid. And I think about that with my kids. Today, I was at the mall with my daughter, who's 10, and we were looking for a Pelicans hat, which, for the record, if you live in the city of Los Angeles and you're looking for a Pelicans hat, don't. Just try to find it on Amazon. Plan ahead better than me. I'm taking my son to the Pelicans game on Saturday so he can finally see CJ McCollum in person. And the only thing he has is his Blazers jersey. And he was really upset about the fact that he's on a different team and he doesn't have anything. So I went to go find this Pelicans hat. Anyway, so I'm walking with my daughter, who is a huge Damian Lillard fan. And we're talking about this whole situation with the Pelicans and Jesse and CJ McCollum. And she looks at me and she says, "Mom, I just have to tell you, like, if Damian Lillard leaves the Blazers, I can't be a Blazer fan anymore. I'm gonna have to be a fan of wherever he goes." And I, like, it actually made me emotional because that's who I was. That was me at 10 years old when your dad got traded to the Rockets. And now suddenly I was a Rockets fan. And it's, I think about that. I say all of this to say that we can talk about legacy in the form of rings. We can talk about the legacy in the form of personal accolades in the all-star nods, in the scoring titles, in all these things. We can talk about legacy like that, but truly, truly to me, the legacy of a player comes down to the fans and yeah. what that player does for the fans and what Damian Lillard is doing for Portland Trailblazers fans is beautiful. I mean, really, truly, it's something of beauty. And I think that this narrative is not being spoken by Trailblazers fans. This narrative is being spoken by the national media, by fans outside, by fans who want Damian Lillard to come be on their team.
And I think a large portion of people never really think about what this means for somebody like Damian Lillard. So to take you through my father's thought process, where, okay, at this point in Dame's career, he's in a similar place to my father was in. They had a good run. They had some good teams. My father's team, you know, made it to the finals twice. Now all of a sudden the organization is like, all right, we're going to trade away all our assets. We're going to trade away all our people. We're going to rebuild. We're going to get rid of the coach that took you to the finals. And we're just going to, we're going to wing it. And so my father's sitting there, and this is his thought process. He says, "I only have a few more years left in this league that I want to play. If we're not trying to win and I'm a competitor, what are we doing?" So he's like, "All right, well, put me somewhere where I can compete."
Right.
You know, and that was his choice. And I respect it. And then, but you look at Damian Lillard's position, he's been there for some bad teams. He's been there for some good teams. He's been the focal point. He's made some teams good. And now he's at a position where I think this is one of the first times in his career where he's in a position that is looking to not be about him. The team is looking like they're about to try either to tank for a Wembanyama or Yama, or they're going to try and rebuild and try to retool the roster. And I don't know if they can get to the point where they can be as competitive as they were, but the flip side of that is that what if we do get, you know, the number one pick and we get Wembanyama and he goes and scores 40 points a game, but the team starts losing. And then all of a sudden the narrative around the league is, oh, Wembanyama can't play with Dame. So now that the league starts talking about how they need to trade Dame, then what happens? What do fans do then? And that's the craziest part about the situation that Dame's in, is it can go a lot of different ways.
So many different ways.
And as a franchise player, it's got to be so nerve-wracking knowing that, like, it's out of your hands.
I got to ask you this, and you can choose to not answer if you want to. This is the thing about this podcast is Adam and I, like, we don't really, we kind of just have this conversation. So sometimes it goes in directions where we haven't talked about it beforehand, but I'm curious, and maybe you know this, maybe you don't, maybe it's just your opinion. Maybe you don't want to say it at all, but I'm curious with your dad, if the Blazers hadn't broken it down and hadn't split it apart and they had said like, hey, we're going to give it another shot next year. Mm-hmm. Do you think he would have stayed?
Yeah, I think he just stayed.
Yeah.
That to me is the one thing he just, like, anytime we talk about, he's like, they traded away all my guys and they got rid of my coach. Like,
yeah,
he was like, yeah, I met with them and that was kind of them telling me that they didn't want to compete in the same regard because he had all the tools. I mean, you don't trip and fall into the finals.
Right, right.
So he's thinking, all right, we got all our guys. Yeah. We know we can get there. Let's keep at it.
Run it back. That's the team you run it back with.
Yeah. So, I mean, and it comes down to front office, but
yeah,
I think that's kind of like the sentiment. People want to compete and their legacies are on the line. Right. He's like, his mind, he's like, man, I just lost Michael Jordan. My legacy's on the line. Like,
right.
I got to get back there. I got to go win a ring. He's got a ring. I need a ring.
Yeah.
So as a player, you can't help but feel that way.
And I think that's the interesting thing to me because, in fact, I think he alluded to that, if not came right out and said it when we had him on the podcast about how he wanted to be in Portland until they broke it all apart. And I think about that and I think about Dame being in the position that he's in right now. And that's where I think we're at. I think we're at the point where that's why I said, I think that this summer is going to be crucial. I think that this summer is going to be really crucial because I think Dame has been very clear about the fact that he wants to be in Portland, that he wants to win a ring in Portland, that he wants to do all these things. Dame has been very clear about that. But I also think there comes a point where it's like, what are we doing? And if the franchise gets to a point where they break it all down and start to essentially rebuild, then I think we're in trouble. And I want to play this clip that you sent. Is this a good time? You want to throw that up there now? Okay. So this is from a post-game interview, I believe. Is this post-game media availability?
Yeah, it's post-game. And they're kind of asking Dame about what his thoughts are about, you know, the season's taking a turn. It's looking like they might not make the playoff spots. And Dame's talking about, okay, like we might not make it.
Right.
So what are his plans for continuing to play? And earlier, I don't know if this is going to show in the clip, but earlier, the previous questions they were asking him were about his teammates, his younger teammates who are kind of like still getting a feel for the league. And he's kind of answering them, but at the same time, he's kind of sitting there like, okay, yeah, that's great for them to get experience. But at the same time, like,
at what cost?
Let's experience some winning, you know?
And
that's kind of, as a veteran franchise player, like he is the one who's held accountable for the team's wins and losses, regardless of what he does. So he's kind of in a weird situation, but the clip kind of explains his thoughts on what he would want. Like, does he want to rebuild or not?
Right. Moving forward. Like, what do we do from here? Okay. So here we go.
That's not what I'm interested in. So that's the frustrating part of it is talking about, oh, you know, for what's going to happen next season and us building, like that's not what I'm here to do, especially at this stage of my career. So as much as it is encouraging to promote that brand of basketball that you probably win with going forward, and that's what we got to learn to make a habit of. I mean, right now I'm not out there looking like, okay, we making these plays. This is what we got to start doing for next, you know, that's, you know, it's hard for me to remove myself from the present as far as that and then go forward about being excited about what we doing that weekend.
Yeah.
And that's what I mean. That's what I'm talking about. That's like it's a special predicament that it happened. We don't see it a lot because it doesn't happen to a lot of players. A lot of players will have already jumped ship. Damian Lillard's one of the few players that he is expected to win because the Trailblazers usually are competitive. They typically don't take seasons off.
Right.
So when you come to a point now where the Blazers have made certain roster moves that make it appear as though the franchise is tanking, which is typically in the past, they've never really done that. They've made a few moves, but it's never been like, oh, you're tanking, you're done. It's been like, all right, we're going to trade this piece for a different piece that was still a good piece, you know?
Yeah.
And now with those losses and how things are winding up, people are like, okay, well, maybe you should just kind of tank. And yeah. Damian Lillard is not about that. So it's a weird place to be as a star player.
Yeah. Yeah. This is not a guy that's thrilled about tanking. You can see that in everything that he's said. And, you know, in that tweet we shared earlier, I think that the Blazers are in kind of a unique spot where they've got this talent in Dame where they should be trying to win a championship, but they also have this like other level of young players that are coming up, and it's almost like they're also rebuilding, or like they can't make up their mind about which direction they're going to go. And I think that's why I say, I think it's going to be really telling this summer. And it's hard because you have these guys that are young that we get attached to, like as Blazer fans, and yet if they're going to do this, if they're going to really make a push for a championship while Dame's here, they're going to have to let some of those guys go and bring in some veteran players that can really push for this with him. And I think that's going to be hard. I think it's going to be hard for everybody. I think it's going to be hard for even for Dame, who, you know, builds relationships with these guys and gets attached to these guys. I think it's going to be hard for the team. I think it's going to be hard for fans. I think it's going to be just a hard transition. Yeah. But I think if they don't do that, this window for Dame to win a championship is going to slip away. And I would, you know, I think I've been someone who's always said, until Damian Lillard says he wants to leave Portland, we believe that he's going to stay. And I truly, truly do. But I also think that if we get to a point where the franchise is not going to make a push for him to win a championship, I think he's earned the right to go somewhere else if he chooses to do that, if he wants to do that and pursue that. And I don't think fans should hold that against him. I think about that, you know, often.
I think what they do in this offseason will kind of determine his next move, because essentially they would be forcing his hand. If he left, if they go out there and get a star player and Damian Lillard leaves, then I don't know what to make of that. But if they go out there and they're like, hey, we got some picks that we can trade in the future, and we got some future first round picks, then, and I'm Damian Lillard, and I'm like, you just trade away all my pieces for some future first round, whatever. Yeah. Then I'm furious. And I'm like, okay, well, I can't win with that.
Well, so you don't want to lose forever. You don't want to have a 71 point game and lose like then that.
I'm like, I brought this up earlier, but like, okay, four playoff series wins. That's Damian Lillard. I don't care who you are. And mind you, it's hard to win in the playoffs. This is not against him, but like, I know Damian Lillard sitting there like, I want to go down as one of the best point guards ever.
Yeah.
And in order to do that, he has to have some level of success in the postseason. So he's sitting there like, hey guys, help me, help you, help my legacy.
Right. And I think for me, this comes down to, if this front office does not make some big crucial moves, they are going to be letting down a lot of people. And I think it is a tragic mistake if things do not change this summer. I think that it would be, I mean, I have been for years, I have been finding the positive spin on things, but I think that would be actually tragic if they do not make those moves, because I think that puts us in a position where Dame now is forced to make a really tough decision. Do I stay here and continue during a rebuild, essentially, where we may not win, where we are not competing for a championship, where we're just kind of existing in this space? Or do I leave after all this stuff I've said about wanting to win a ring in Portland? Do I leave this franchise and go pursue something else? And I think that if the franchise does not make big moves this summer, they put Damian Lillard in an impossible position. And I think that this comes down, you know, this whole narrative of free Dame and let Dame go to another team and win or whatever. Like, I think this narrative needs to shift, and it needs to be focused on what the front office is or is not doing. It's not about Dame. Dame has
nothing to do with him. No. He's an incredible player playing, and team game. What, I mean, any player that scores 71 points, it's like they're talented.
What else do you want from him?
He's talented. Like, what else do you want? He can only do so much on a team. And it falls on the organization to make those moves. So it will really be up to the Blazers where they want to go with this in the future. Because if they go and they enter into a rebuild and start giving away all their players and getting picks and stuff, and Damian Lillard's still there, he's like, where do I fit into this equation?
Well, and it's just, it's so, I think that's the thing that's the most frustrating in all of this, is it's like this stupid narrative about Dame is like, that's not fair to him, because at this point, it's not even his to write. Like it's really truly on the front office, because if they don't make the moves, he is in an impossible position, and they have put him there. They have picked him up and put him right in that impossible position, because what do you do? Like, now that's just an impossible place. So I hope for everyone's sake, that for the Trailblazers, for fans, for Damian Lillard, I hope that this summer is a summer of big moves, because if it is not, that whole front office has let down everyone. They've let down the team, they've let down the fans, and they have especially let down Damian Lillard.
Yeah, it's one of those things where you kind of have to think about the bigger picture with it. Another player that I think of is Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler has kind of cemented a legacy for himself, in that Jimmy Butler has taken a team to the finals, which is no easy feat. And that will be accredited to him forever. And Jimmy Butler, mind you, he's missed a lot of All-Stars. He's missed a lot of stuff. But at no point is anyone ever like, oh, Jimmy Butler is not a threat, you know? But he's kind of foregone a lot of career accolades in pursuit of winning. And I don't know how history will tell it, if Jimmy Butler will be remembered as that kind of guy, as you know, this winning kind of person. But it kind of makes me wonder about other players. Like, okay, how is history going to remember Bradley Beal? How is history going to remember Chris Paul? And how is history going to remember players like Carmelo?
Yeah.
Because Carmelo was in a similar situation for a long time. He was on a team that was not making it to where they wanted to go, and he stuck with that team. Then he went to another team that had no chance of getting to where he wanted to go. And it's weird, because everyone's like, Carmelo was great, but they don't talk. He's not in the conversation of in the same way that some of these other legends are. Like, Giannis will be talked about differently than Carmelo Anthony. Kevin Durant will be talked about differently. And I hate to see that for Damian Lillard, because right now, while he's currently playing, he is talked about and he's held to a different standard from the Bradley Beals and the other players, because he has made it to the playoffs and been on a competitive team for a minute. So it's kind of a weird place to be with your legacy. So I guess everyone, Blazers fans, are going to navigate it together.
Yeah, I've decided in the course of this hour-long podcast that really who I'm mad at is our front office. I'm not there yet, but this, because I do truly think that there's been a plan here. And even like when this shift happened a couple years ago, I felt like 2 years was a solid like course of time to let them really get to where they need to, because it is a long game. It is a, you know, you have to make, sometimes you can't just make one move. It has to be several moves to get to where you want to be. And I get that. So I've really felt like that, but I'm telling you what, if we get through this summer and they do not make some big moves and they put Dame in that position, I'm going to be so mad at them.
Yeah. It's like, like, I can't even really blame. Of course, the front office are the ones that are putting the team in this kind of situation. But also, it's the way the team is set up. It's a small market team. So, and that was my father's whole point. He's like, look, I can't get another star here. And the front office is not going to get me another star here. And they're trading away the pieces that I had to MacGyver some pieces in order to get to where I was into the finals. So he's like, all right, what is there for me to do? And that's the same situation that Dame is in, like there, or he might be in. We don't know. The Blazers might be able to get a star.
They might pull it off.
Yeah. Cause I mean, if you look at no player has won a ring with no stars. I mean, that just doesn't happen. Or even like great pieces around them. I'm trying to think.
It's
very uncommon.
Yeah, it's very clear what needs to happen here. So we just have to kind of sit back and wait and hope, you know, that it's an exciting off season.
Yeah. And whatever it is, I just hope that Blazers fans are not pointing the finger at Dame ever. I don't think anyone is, but
no.
I think it's important for the media to realize that, like, hey, there's a lot of shakiness, a lot of uncertainty that goes with this. Dame has been in one place his whole career. He's comfortable there. He's the franchise player. Outside of this realm is a mystery. And who knows? He could go to another team. Something bad could happen. And all of a sudden, no one talks about Dame anymore. That's a scary thought to think that all the work you've done for a franchise can just be erased.
Yeah, so absolutely.
And it's a weird place to be in.
Yeah.
Have some sympathy for these star players.
I feel like it's so funny because we had a couple other things to talk about, but this is just such a big thing. And not in the sense of like everybody's always talking about, well, they need to go somewhere else. Like that's been an ongoing thing. But I do think that like this conversation we're having, it's just such a like there's so many different sides to it. And man, it's a lot. It's a lot. But this summer will be telling, and we've got a little bit of the season left. We don't really know yet if this is a full tank or if they're going to really make that last push to try to make it into the play-in. I will say this, if they make it into the play-in, I actually have solid confidence that they'll make it into the playoffs. I think that's been, you know, the pattern that this I think if anyone can drag their team from where we are into a playoff
position, I think
Damian Lillard
in terms of making it okay, if they get to the play-in, I think Dame can
drag them to the playoffs.
He can drag them to the playoffs. But I'm like, at that point, do you want to see Dame struggle for four rounds to carry a team through
Like that's kind of where we're at right now, where it's almost like I almost don't even want him to make it in because at this point, like we're not going to win this year. That's been very clear. So like with as little season as there is left, as much as I want to watch more Blazers basketball, I want to watch another round of basketball. I think about how exhausting, and this is why I hate the stupid play-in. I hate this so much. I don't like this change at all. But as much as like, they're going to be in that last spot. They're going to have to win several games to even get into the playoffs and then to get into the playoffs. And it almost seems painful. There's almost a sense in which I'd like to just, I don't know. I don't want to say that.
And like, okay, let's say Damian Lillard. Okay. Somehow the Blazers make it to the playoffs. They win the first, they make it to the Western semifinals and they lose there. Like, what does that even do for Dame's legacy? Like the people like, okay, he could even make it. Okay. Let's say he makes it to the Western Conference Finals. And it's up against who? The Suns, the Kevin Durant with the Suns, and they lose to them. People are still going to come out with headlines that are like, oh, Damian Lillard needs to free himself of this team. And it's like, I think the only level of success that's going to satisfy any of these is if he makes it to a finals. I think that's the whole thing for Dame. Like, that's the key is like, okay, if Damian Lillard makes it to a finals, no one can talk with that narrative anymore. Right. So,
And if we make it into the lottery this year, there's some good talent coming in. Mm. And so, you know, there's that part of me too that's like, what if we made it, you know, to the lottery, made it. I say that like it's a win. but like, what if we are in the lottery and we get like, what if we get a good pick and that turns everything around? I mean, we've seen the difference. We've seen the difference. Last season, we got Shaedon Sharpe at the 7th pick. We've seen the difference that Shaedon makes when he's on the court. We've seen the talent that he came right through the doors with. And I think about that, like, what if we got a second or third pick? Like,
yeah, it's really tough with that because, like, I don't think there's ever been a case where, like, a top pick has come in and won a championship.
But there's
like,
never been a victor.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna say his last name. Yeah.
I'm like, this can help. But like, I think it can help in terms of helping Dame. Like, you can go and trade some of these players. Like, okay, let's say you don't get the first pick, and you don't get Victor. Maybe there's a player in there you can trade,
right,
to go get a star, or somebody to help Dame win or get to the finals or something.
Absolutely, absolutely. For I mean, you send somebody like that to a team that's building, and Well, that wouldn't work because then they don't have it. Anyway, you get the idea.
Yeah, like, and that's like in terms of my father, like no one was sitting there saying, oh, we got to get Drexler to another team. We got to free him. No one was saying that because
there wasn't social media.
Yeah, there wasn't social media. But like it was essentially he was taking the team to the finals. Like that was
no one
was saying free him, free this. And mind you, the front office was doing all they could. And like they just happened to have a good group together. Right. And in Dame's case, he's had some good groups. He's had some not so good groups. And like it just hasn't been a fit that has a winning formula yet. Yeah. So I'm really hoping that something happens that is
next season. Yeah, next season's going
to
be it.
This season, I'm like, okay, even if we do manage to make it to the playoffs, for what?
It's going to be rough. Yeah. All right. Well, we've gone over already and we didn't even get to everything. So we'll have to, this is what happens when I go off the grid and you have surgery, we have catching up to do. Yeah. Make sure you follow us on Twitter. I'm at Deandra Ann. Adam is at Drex Glides. And then the number 2, you know, we pull tweets off there. We need to be better about that with people that interact because we do get some and I'd like to add those in, but make sure you're subscribed on YouTube, on podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen, just hit subscribe, follow, like whatever the button is where you're listening. You know, all that stuff that helps keep us going. So, you know, here we are next week. Maybe we'll know what direction we're going.
Maybe we'll go on a winning streak. Yeah.
You never know.
Who knows?
We can hope. We can hope good things. All right.
Thanks for tuning in, everybody.
Yeah.
You're listening to Shooting Hoops with your hosts, Dia Miller and Adam Drexler.